to be in orbit.
Welcome to Contact. On this show, you'll hear real stories from those who've come face to face with the anomalous. You'll hear about encounters with UFOs, time anomalies, cryptids, spectral entities, and everything in between. And you'll notice that these phenomena are far more connected than we think. We implore you to listen with an open mind and open heart. Empathy and curiosity are essential to understanding these experiences. The truth is that every story matters. Every encounter reveals something about the mystery around us and within us, about what it means to be human. And now, onto this week's show. The day that this happened was actually really strange. Early on this day, I knew that I was going to be going out and skywatching at night, and they say to set your intention, to essentially be a beacon and invite things to come in and greet you. I was setting this intention, going about my day, making sure I had, you know, a calm, stress-free day, ready for the evening. Around 10 p.m. at night, I go out to my back garden, which kind of backed onto a big field with a stream between us and the field. So it was a really lovely space to just sit in and, you know, meditate and just listen to nature. And I would set up a sunbed in the middle of the garden, put on headphones, and I would just lay there for hours just watching the sky. It was a completely clear night. It was really warm. I remember not having to have my dressing gown on, so I could just lay under the stars, you know, in shorts and t-shirt and be comfortable. Completely clear, so I could see for miles. And where this was, it was in South Wales in a place called Barry. It's a coastal town, basically. So the one side, I'm looking at mountains, kind of going up to the north in the middle of Wales. And the other side is the ocean. So I'm laying there, and I'm just listening to music, and my intention was set all day. And I basically say, okay, you know, I'm ready, I'm relaxed. No one else is out here. So do something. And as soon as I say that, this huge owl flies over from the roof to the field. And it just makes me jump. It's such a big owl. You know, like I often see owls in that field, but just the one at that timing. So in these situations, you're told to, you know, say thank you for the abrupt thing that made you jump. It was part of it. So I did that. And as I did that, about five of the same size owls all fly over as I'm saying thank you. And that's weird because owls don't fly in formations or groups. They fly singly. So immediately I'm just like, okay, this is weird. Maybe there's something to this. I don't know. You know, a few moments later, I look directly upwards. I take a breath and I say, thank you. And as I'm looking at the sky saying thank you, right where I've looked in the sky, which is to the north, I see this speck of light moving. And it looks like a satellite or the space station. Nothing special. It's just steadily kind of going through the sky. It just happens to be exactly where I looked. After the whole owl thing, I'm laying there feeling a bit weirded out, but also a little daring, I guess. So I say out loud to this light, go on, do something crazy. And it stopped. It just stopped. Again, could be a coincidence, but, you know, this is me in the moment, like I say, almost pretty much 2 a.m. in the morning on my own in the pitch black, and this is happening. As I'm trying to figure out if it stopped or not, you know, I'm holding my thumb up and keeping it there, seeing if it'll emerge from behind my thumb and stuff like that. It starts falling towards the horizon like a leaf on the wind. You know, that kind of zigzag drifting kind of movement. And bear in mind, I just thought this was a satellite. And now it's moving like this. I was, you know, my jaw was open. I know things in orbit don't move this way. Now, I have read that there is an effect where when you look at stars, that your eyes shift ever so slightly, and it gives it a feeling that the star is moving, or like a satellite will be zigzagging. But I just want to emphasize that when I say zigzag, I'm not talking about 2-3 millimeters. I had my arm out, my thumb held up to the sky covering this light. And it was clear in my thumb each side that it was going. This is dramatic movement. It's just falling, and I'm watching it with, at this point, I've just got tears in my eyes. You know, people always want to, they always say they want to see these things, but you don't know how you're going to react until you actually see something like this. In that moment, just all the things are going through my head, thinking about all the sightings that I've just been so dismissive of through my whole life, even as a UFO person. I think, oh, if that can't happen, or no, you can't summon a UFO, or no. And all these things are flashing to me, and suddenly every possibility is on the table. You know, it's just opening my aperture to kind of go, hey, you were wrong. Like, there is crazy stuff out here, and we're just going to slap you across the face with it. So I watched this thing fall towards the horizon, you know, falls from the apex of the sky right down just behind the house, the roof of the house. And as it kind of reaches the roof of the house, it stops again. And I'm going to say zips off north, but I can't find the word to capture the speed that this thing moved. It went from south of me, the top of my house, to north, clear in the horizon. And like I say, bear in mind, this was a clear open sky, right? So like I can see for quite a while, and it clears that space in maybe like a second, 1.5 seconds. It's just gone north, from south to north, just gone. And my jaw is on the floor, realizing that I've seen something profound that most people, you know, go through their life hoping to see and they never do. There is nothing that I can think of, that I have researched, that I have spoken to people in defense jobs about, that moves this way, that moves that fast, that falls like a leaf on the... Like, it doesn't even make sense that it moved that way, like a leaf on the wind. You know, the atmosphere and how, like, a heavy ship would fall, it just doesn't make sense that this is, like, a craft. It was baffling. I'm left with the notion that, okay, that absolutely isn't ours, as in not made by human hands. And as I'm staring at this spot, four more huge owls fly over from exactly where I'm looking, again in this triangular formation, and they fly over to the field. And I was just, what do I do with that? Like, you hear so much about owls being involved with these really strange sightings with esoteric subjects, you know, Twin Peaks at the hole, the owls are not what we think. And, you know, this is a constant thing that comes up when you talk to people. And to experience it like that in a really raw form that just felt like it was slapping me across the face, not like a, oh yeah, what you saw maybe was something strange. It was just, that all happened to me at around 2 a.m. on the 8th of June, 2021. And I just, it blows my mind that this will stay with me forever. The experience was so kind of galvanizing for me in terms of there being something strange out there that I kept going out and I kept doing this, you know, the intention and inviting for the interactions. And I had a couple more, you know, they weren't as dramatic as this one. It was just, you know, where I would look in the sky, a light would appear and I would say hi and it would flash. And I'm well aware that, you know, some people say these are iridium flares and they just reflect the sun and stuff like that. But I wouldn't just do it once. I would go, oh, okay, that's interesting. How about you do it again for me after the count of three? And I would go 1, 2, 3, and then it would flash. And it got to a place where it became so common for me. You know, I would show people it and they would just get freaked out and just not want anything to do with it. But through showing people, I also got to hear some interesting ideas about it. Because, you know, when we talk about summoning UFOs, we think, oh yeah, you know, I'm summoning an alien, I'm sending an invite, and they're going to drop their dinner plans. You know, the alien wife's at home kind of going, why isn't he home yet at 6 p.m.? And he's like, sorry, Dan wanted to wave at me from planet Earth. I had to stop by. But I've heard ideas that it's some kind of latent ability that humans have, and that when you look out and it happens where you're looking, it's because it comes from you. I don't know what to make of that, to be honest, but I think it's an interesting theory. The thing that I came away from these experiences with, because I kind of stopped doing them because they freaked me out a bit, and I got this notion, just intuitively, that there's something like an anglerfish deep down in the deep, dark depths of the ocean. You know, there are these lights flowing about, and fish gets transfixed by them, and then as soon as they're transfixed by them, the teeth come from behind, and, you know, the big fish eats the small fish. And so I kind of had that feeling with it. Out of a sense of caution, I kind of stopped doing it so much. And my experiences didn't stop. They carried on. It was in a very different way. But I've been told so much that, you know, when you look into the abyss looks back. And I was very much left with the feeling that the abyss saw me. And kind of kept coming to show me things. And I had, like, lots of weird synchronicities afterwards. And just really strange happenings that I guess what would be what people talk about, like a kind of hitchhiker effect, like this strangeness doesn't come in one, it comes with all of these other kind of weird things around it. And it really had an effect on me to the point where I would say that if that experience didn't happen, I would not be doing podcasting for UFOs and the paranormal. And it makes me think of John Keel and what he would say about UFO sightings, where there was always a kind of a prime witness that the sighting was aimed at. And other people might see it, but he always endeavored to find that prime witness and have them hold on to their information like it was, you know, a golden goose, and just hold it tight and to just talk to him about, you know, anything that came after. And they'd all have, like, the hitchhiker stuff as well, you know, weird phone calls and things moving around the house and strange synchronicities. But, you know, gun to my head, if someone said, like, what was this for? What was this sighting for? It inspired me to change my life to the point where it now revolves around trying to lift people up to talk about these strange experiences, to try and give people space to talk about them, to hopefully help them process something about what they went through and not be fearful of the stigma. You know, if someone was telling me this story, hey, I had a UFO sighting and it inspired me to make shows that talked about these subjects and help try and lift people up and help them process, I would say that's too on the nose as a script, too obvious. But that's exactly what happened to me. This experience changed my life for the better, I would say. For 30 years, 40 years, I've been thinking, you know, what am I meant to do with my life? And this whole time I should have been listening to 2-3-year-old me who just wanted to be a UFO agent watching The X-Files. And now here I am making UFO shows and helping facilitate, hopefully, some healing for people. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1-hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website, tobehumanshow.com. And feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, or X at tobehumanshow. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.